This is the Nitrocom Beer Blast for Epiphone Heaven Decor for Zebra Fairy Mintieth, Do Sound Wind Felve. I'm Bold Muse Alita, and we'd like to announce a couple of Kickstarters.
For $2 million, I, Imran Khan, will somehow stop the production of Transformers 4.
For $225,000, I, Matt Pierce, will totally let you touch my Ford GT.
David Marchment.
Oh, sorry, was that me? I'm not good with lists. For $24,000, I will change my name to Duke Tommy Turok III.
And for $8,000, I, Mark Bradshaw, vow to resume production of the Nitro Beard podcast.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say resume the production of Transformers 4.
Fuck, now we got to do this all over again.
Wait, that works, though, because then I can charge $2.5 million to stop it again. We'll have a whole racket going here.
Right, exactly.
We should start a Kickstarter to make the Vita a success.
Oh, man.
Give the money to Sony.
Right, and instead of, like, a protection racket, it's a Kickstarter racket where it's just a perpetually bouncing back and forth, increasing lump sum of money that you get.
For $25 million, we will vow to send 1 million Vitas out to the public. And maybe, like, a game will sell as much as a 3DS game.
What would that do to the percentage of Vitas in American households?
Well, there would be 24 million Vitas. No, wait, there would be 1 million Vitas.
Oh, shit.
So, $250 Kickstarter.
Technically, if they're losing money off each Vita sold, wouldn't that be bad for them?
It would specifically if you like gave away the Vitas under the express terms that you would never sell a game for the Vita. Which is why Sony want to prevent people from making supercomputers out of PlayStation 3s, because it really fucked them.
Can we make supercomputers out of PlayStation Vitas?
Sure, if you can get like 5 Vitas together and make an iPad 3.
But no one would develop for it.
It'd be the fastest supercomputer for 5 minutes until it runs out of battery.
How would you connect them as well? Because, like, you can't connect these things to anything.
That's a good question. Maybe if you transferring, yes. I don't know. Maybe if you just kind of rub the touchscreens together, like the rear touchscreens, maybe that, I don't know.
You said this was a gaming podcast, not a porn cast.
The Vita is the Vita cast.
I will say, for full disclosure, I've put my order in for one, and it should probably get here next week.
I will.
Part of the problem.
I will probably order one.
Oh, shit, they're out tonight, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're also out to get you, David.
I have not seen a single advert for them.
I haven't, because I don't have television.
I saw some on Craigslist.
I haven't even seen them in, like, gaming stores.
What was that, Matt?
I was saying, I've seen the European advert, and maybe you have seen it and just wouldn't know.
That's true.
It's one of those This Is Living type of ads.
Typical Sony advertising.
Yeah, Sony really needs to go back to just the blatant race crime ads they had for PlayStation.
Those work.
That was amazing. Remember the one when they had the white PSP come out?
Yeah, and it was white here. Like,
and it was like a white model grabbing a black model round the neck, pushing them against the wall, and it had "White is coming." And it's
Sony,
like,
you know what?
That's quite offensive, guys.
They do weird ads.
You were talking
Europe.
About it. Yeah.
Italy, they had a one where it was like a smug looking teenager with a crown of thorns, and the thorns are making like triangles and squares and X's.
Oh, God.
The only place you don't want to do this is Italy. Yes.
Do you remember the one with the hairy flesh pillows that were all PlayStation button symbols?
Ugh. Yeah, like some woman was like writhing on top of them.
Oh, God.
Oh, man, that's terrible. So, speaking of, we can go two different ways from this point. This is a choose-your-own-adventure podcast. Should we go to Vita Talk or Kickstarter Talk?
We kind of did.
We're going to have to wait for an audience response now.
All right. So I guess that this is the point where we can put in the timestamp and tell them.
I guess we should acknowledge that Lionel apparently won the ice cream contest last week.
So do we have to both sections now, and then just choose the one they did because we're not live.
apparently, Mike Lemieux won as well. Q did, who's on the Jumpcast, I believe.
Yes, but I don't know what. I know Wes was asking me what he should give Lidor, and Wes was like, "Oh, I'll just give him Bad Rats."
Bad Rats,
He can reject that, right?
Right. We need to find a foolproof way to make sure somebody gets a copy of this game. Are there hard copies of Bad Rats? Hold on, I'm going to Amazon.com right now. Bad Rats.
If I accepted e-books. Secrets of the Magic Crystal of someone, you can damn well accept Bad Rats.
What you could do is put it on a flash drive, and on the flash drive, in Sharpie, put hot porn and give that to him. It's sweet hot porn. But then it auto-installs Bad Rats. God damn it.
Yeah. Well, either way, I think Lighter suffered enough. I don't know how.
Lytor could never suffer enough.
We always
been set on fire by that guy so many times.
Yeah, anytime we play Left 4 Dead with him, we always berate him. And anytime he's on my team, I'm always like, oh, fuck, he's on my team.
We were playing a game the other day where, jokingly, he kept saying, let's race for dead, let's race for dead. And at some point, he actually did it. And he dies, 5 feet from the safe room because none of us can get to him. So the next map, in the safe room, I unload on him with a shotgun until he goes down.
Yeah, there was a point where, I can't remember who it was, but me and this other person, it might have been you, Imran, were conspiring on if we should just incapacitate Lighter because it would be better for the team in the long run for that map.
Well, our logic was if we get him down to 30, then at least he'll slow down.
Right. And he just won't be able to catch up. We'll just leave him behind. So that's the kind of antics that happens when we play Left 4 Dead. So I've started recording demos now of our games because they're usually hilarious, and occasionally I live stream them when that works. So hopefully I should start tossing some of those up on NitroBeard, edited to the best parts and whatnot. I'd just like to remind everyone about the legend of Narpig, possibly one of the greatest Left 4 Dead moments of all time in my life, certainly.
That video is beautiful.
It is. It's wondrous. So let's talk about Kickstarter. Everything's getting kickstarted, literally. I posed the question today on how did Kickstarter get started. If everything is being started by Kickstarter, how did Kickstarter get started? And our good friend... our good friend Poik mentioned that in the year 2015, Kickstarter started a Kickstarter to fund a time travel machine so they could get money to go back in time and fund Kickstarter.
That's meta.
Yeah, I think it's far more likely they had a proper structured business plan.
That's an idea. That's quite an idea there, David Marchman.
But, I mean, it's not like it really requires that much business. They just take fee from...
No, they just need a website, really.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so last week we talked about how the Double Fine and Tim Schafer project got super funded. I don't know, I think it how much is it at now?
Is that
7? I think.
I think it reached 2. I'm fairly sure it passed 2.
It was at 2 million this morning. Apparently, when Tim Schafer woke up, he saw it was at $2 million.
Good lord! And then today, the Idle Thumbs guys, all of the guys, they announced a Kickstarter to fund. I guess Idle Thumbs doing kind of a new thing, maybe more podcasts, maybe some other stuff. And within 2 hours, it already reached its goal, and it's now just past double. They requested 30,000, and they're now sitting at 61,000, just under 62.
I know you were sitting there wrestling with whether or not to donate an actual $1,000.
I was stupid for entertaining the fact. Well, not really. I mean, it would have been hella fun. God knows that would for sure. There's a lot of great stuff they do. They'll write a song about you. You can have dinner with them or something. Right. Chris Remo will write a song, record about you. And I think apparently you could even pick a topic for them to talk about for sure. Or maybe that's the $200 one. I don't know. And I was seriously considering it. It would have been really neat. And I like these guys. So, but I didn't. I did 200.
Did you try to weigh in your mind what matters more, your life at your hand's wife?
My wife's hands and the fact that we're having a kid soon. Yeah, I did that, but I mean, we're doing pretty okay financially, we're doing all right.
And plus, she can't really do much to him because she is pregnant.
That's true.
She
can't kill him.
She's got that like pregnancy power now, though.
No, I mean she can't really like threaten your life because then the child will be up without a father. So
true.
What I'm saying is you're basically home free and you can do whatever you want.
All right, I'm taking your word on this, Mark.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is how this works.
Marital advice by Mark Bradshaw.
Donate.
I'm pretty sure if Brian dies, Nitro Beard has to raise the kid.
Right?
Yeah.
It takes a village to raise a child, right? It takes a podcast to raise a child.
That poor kid.
You should kickstart for your kid.
I should. Yeah. What do I need? What do I need for my child that I would need a Kickstarter for that I can't afford right now?
Need
a college fund.
Do I need a $50,000 stroller designed by Porsche?
No.
Yes.
I don't even see why you would ask that. Of course you need it.
What were you saying, Mark?
You need a Neo Geo AVGS. You need it with Metal Gear Samurai Showdown 2.
You need a new basement to put arcade machines in.
I do.
Yes.
That would be a rather pricey project, seeing as our house does not have a basement. So it's just a two-story townhome. So they would need a
basement. Well, so first you need a house with a basement.
Yeah, also that. or it could always be a Kickstarter if it reaches this much money. I'll name the kid. God, what would be the name that I would hate worst?
Cloud Sephiroth.
Oh, no.
Sandropus.
Cloud Sephiroth Super Saiyan.
Cloud Sephiroth.
Name my kid Babyfield.
Babyfield. Oh, God, yeah. This is my kid. His nickname is Babyfield.
Slump Jumpington.
It would be cute for a day.
Right.
And then progressively less cute with every time
I'm
he ages.
I'm sure some parents named one. It was for a games promotion to get the game free.
I think you're right.
And some parents named Turok. Their kid. No, the Turok one was a guy changed his own name to Turok. But there was another game when they named their newborn after the game.
Jesus.
Was the Gravestone one?
That was just a poor advertising effort by Activision for Turok.
Well, there's also that great image of some guy in India's driver's license, and it's Batman bin Superman. Love that one.
There was also the one Activision did for Turok, where they said they would if you mailed them your speeding ticket for that day, presumably you were speeding on your way to get a copy of Turok because your life was a wreck.
They would pay for
the speeding ticket. Yes,
that's pretty awesome.
I kind of miss Acclaim because they never ever put out a single good game. But they had some amazing PR.
Wait a minute. I'm sure I can refute that.
Acclaim.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Okay, so the game was called Shadow Man.
Oh, I remember Shadow Man. That game was terrible.
Yeah. The quote they gave with it was, "The concept of what we're calling deadvertising is entirely consistent with the theme of Shadow Man's second coming and provides us with a permanent presence for our advertising." By the way, second was spelled with a 2.
Okay, so it looks like it was a couple that named their kids Skype.
Yeah, how did Shadow Man get a sequel? Because it was an appalling game.
You know what? Let me
tell
you this.
There's a reason Acclaim is out of business.
So when I was in high school, it must have been my junior or senior year, we found that if you went to the local mall near where we lived that had a GameStop, electronics, maybe it was Electronics Boutique at the time, I can't remember. Yes, it was. After they closed, they put out a bunch of trash and recyclables, and every now and again, they would just pull out like magazines and boxed games. And I got a copy of Shadow Man for PC that way. They just put it out with the trash. I think it was a copy of Shadow Man and something else. I don't remember. But yeah, so that's my experience with Shadow Man.
I can just remember all my friends, we all had N64s and we were so starved of games that when Shadow Man came out, we all raced down to buy it. And for about 2 weeks, we were talking about how great this game was. And then by the end of the third week, it was like, wasn't this game the biggest piece of shit we've ever played?
I think I stopped about 45 minutes in.
Yeah, it was...
I'm fairly sure I did.
It was the worst of 90s extreme.
Yeah.
Dying Katana is probably up there, too.
Yeah.
In terms of works of 90s extreme.
That is
especially
true.
The N64 version.
Oh, man.
You know what makes good FPS enemies? Bugs. Just bugs all the time.
Yeah. Can I tell you, that's Dying Katana. ruin my ability to like Half-Life. Just going through Half-Life and having to deal with the head crabs made me think of Daikatana, and that's enough.
Well, yeah, Matt actually has an article up on NetJabir.com pretty recently called "The Influence of Hype," and talks about Daikatana and the effects of hype on Daikatana.
Yeah, I actually got pretty far in Daikatana on the N64.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Would you say you were John Romero's bitch?
No. No. What I said in the article is that he made me cry, but it's because he ruined my faith in God.
So he published EA's goal.
However, we all fell for it because we are now all currently talking about Daikatana.
So
it doesn't count if you're talking about how bad it is.
Okay, here's the true question of time. Which game is worse, Duke Nukem Forever or Daikatana?
Yes.
Daikatana, because Duke Nukem Forever is just aggressively bad, but Daikatana is on a whole other level.
Duke Nukem's actively bad. It's working towards that.
So speaking of EA and how we initially got into this conversation, bad advertising and advertising stunts and whatnot. So apparently EA is launching copies of Mass Effect 3 into the stratosphere on weather balloons, letting you track their GPS location and then drive to try to get them a week early or something like that.
See, I'm hoping this leads to a shootout.
It absolutely is. I mean,
you know what's going to happen, don't you? December 23rd, 2012, over China, some unauthorized entity will enter Chinese airspace. Launch a nuclear missile, and the Mayans were right, and it was EA and fucking Mass Effect 3.
It was a copy of Mass Effect 3 that went rogue. Oh, man. So, yeah, either that or some guy's going to, like, I don't know, rent a space helicopter and then fly up and grab it early. I swear to God, somebody is going to find some way to grab it before it actually hits the ground.
I could just see like thousands of people in rural America just shooting blindly into the sky.
Right, trying to pop a balloon.
No, hey, Mom, I'm going to get a copy of Mass Effect 3.
I truly hope that somebody does find a way to get the copy, pop the balloon before it hits the ground.
Here's the thing EA didn't realize. They're not going to it's not going into orbit because it's going to go over like a lead balloon.
Actually, I would love it if someone tries to shoot the balloon down and puts a hole in the disc.
Do you have like a
hole in the disc? Yeah, that would be terrible.
But apparently, Wes was also talking about how EA said if you bought the collector's edition of Mass Effect 3 on Origin or something, you also got Battlefield 3 for free. And apparently, this was up until March the 5th, and then they took it down the day after they announced it.
Was it too popular or not popular enough?
I don't know. It just kind of appeared and then disappeared.
That's interesting.
And it's not like they were just like giving you Battlefield 3 early. You got it when you paid for the game, when it released. So I'm not sure what their deal was.
No, I mean, if you bought the Mass Effect 3 collectors, you got Battlefield for free.
Right, but I'm saying that like some people like might dispute the charges when the game comes out and like get a couple free weeks of Battlefield, but otherwise,
yeah, suck
at
EA.
But they wouldn't be able to do that because they wouldn't authorize the game until Mass Effect 3 also came out.
Maybe someone just realized they were giving away a $60 game with a $60 game.
Yeah,
I think it was like some intern's idea, and then somebody higher up was like, "This idea is terrible." But somebody didn't want to take credit for it. So they're like, yeah, whatever, just pull it down.
Well, there's also the issue where it's like, shouldn't Mass Effect 3 be able to sell itself based on the fact that it's Mass Effect 3? You don't really need Battlefield 3 shoved on top of it.
I think it's Mass Effect 3 and Battlefield 3 trying to sell people on Origin.
Yeah. It's more, come and look at our piece of shit, download service.
Aren't they having an issue like keeping people on Battlefield 3 and like away from Call of Duty, whatever? Like,
When Call of Duty came out, there was a huge kind of exodus, but people have been creeping back slowly now because not because of anything Battlefield 3 have done, but because of things Activision have done, in that they've ruined Modern Warfare 3, basically. So people are kind of trickling back now.
Mass Effect 3 is a game that I would like to play.
I'm going to play
in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I probably won't get around to it until No, I'm going to try to play it as soon as I can.
Because you know we're just going to spoil the shit out of it on this podcast.
Yeah. On this one right here?
Well, not this one.
Imran's got it from Orbit.
What we should do is all buy a different version. And then talk about how different it was.
Oh, man.
No one's going to buy the PS3 version.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, like, somebody pre-order it from one shop, and someone pre-order it from another shop. And
oh, right. Are there bonuses and whatnot?
There's like 100 different DLC codes.
Jesus Christ. What kind of things do they have? I've not read about this as of yet.
From what I understand, there's some guns.
You can get Mass Effect 3 DLC if you buy the toys.
Oh, no, wait, hold on. Didn't I hear something about Final Fantasy 13 2?
That's a costume in Final Fantasy 13 2.
Oh, okay.
There's a rumor that one of the characters can wear N7 armor.
Woo.
You can already dress him like Ezio, so.
I hope it's...
Ezio Auditore.
Wouldn't it make more sense to put, like, the Dead Space armor into Mass Effect? Can we just, like, accept that these are in the same universe and just in, like, different parts of the galaxy that never talk to each other?
There's Amalur armor in Mass Effect.
It's the champion!
There's Dragon Age armor in Mass Effect.
There's Dragon Age armor in Mass Effect. There's Dead Space armor in Dragon Age.
In Dragon Age, right.
There is?
Yeah,
there is.
I ran around as Isaac for a while in Dragon Age 2 because it was the only thing that made that game kind of bearable.
That's the secret now. This is release bad games, let you run around as a character that you might love, and then it'll be a good game. Release a tolerable game.
I think there is a lot of mileage to put characters in another franchise's game.
Like if I could run around and die Katana as, I don't know.
Anything else?
Say, right, it's anything else. As, I don't know, Nathan Drake.
Yeah,
you'd
but
still be shooting bugs.
Oh, imagine
in first person, so you wouldn't even know that you're Nathan Drake. You would just
other than the smarmy comments.
Or imagine at E3 this year, right? There's the Wii U, and there's a huge video showing the new Mushroom Kingdom. There's Goombas walking up and down. There's Koopas, and suddenly on stomps Marcus Fenix.
So it'd be like Super Mario crossover, but with production value.
The camera zooms in on Marcus Fenix's face, and he looks at the camera, and he just says, "Wow."
And he takes off his bandana and he has hair. And he's like, take that, everybody else. He has hair power.
At the end of Gears of War 3, he took off his bandana and it was like a full head of hair there. And it was incredibly weird.
Well, we've already established that the NBA universe and the Mario universe exist in the same continuity.
The so NBA universe? Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, there's Mario and Princess Peach and I think Luigi. We're in one of the EA's NBA games for
right.
So, yeah. So Princess Peach and Dennis Rodman exist in the same universe. So we're going to have to deal with that.
Sarah Claus.
That's insane.
To be fair, we're all the dreamers from Comatose Kid in a Chicago hospital anyway.
Yeah.
little known fact, Dennis Rodman played Birdo in Super Mario Brothers 2.
That picture I just posted is Isaac in Tiger Woods, I think, 10?
Yeah.
2010? And
Tiger Woods golf game.
Tiger Woods universe, same as our Dead Space.
It's amazing when you do that, though, because you kind of juxtapose his image onto a golf course, and you kind of see how vastly impractical that whole getup is.
Well, it also means that somewhere...
He's a walking battle tank.
What also means somewhere in the Tiger Woods universe, there exists the marker, and this may explain Tiger Woods' behavior as of late.
Brilliant theory. So
you see it glowing somewhere in the background.
So I was just peeking in at Nightbeard search queries, and we're just in the last couple of days we've gotten a lot of hits for like Gabe Newell's beard, Gabe N beard, Gabe Newell beard.
They expected us to be on this immediately.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I think not having Gabe Newell's beard exclusive.
I think that's what I'll make our next featured.
I think
beard
you should contact him. And ask him for a beard-related interview.
Can I have a lock of your beard?
Just only ask him about beards.
I sent Gabe Newell an email the other day. After I said I would on the podcast, last week's podcast. I sent him an email just saying, hey, we talked about working for Valve. So if you ever need some guys to do some shitty, shitty Foley sound effects for a future project, let us know.
Or mopping your floors.
I haven't heard back. sadly.
I'm sure he's considering it.
He's considering it. Well, he's also reading like the other 1,000 emails he has before to get to mine or something. Let's see. We also got hits for Lydia Skyrim. 10 hits from google.com.br, which I guess is Brazil again, maybe. Anyways, nothing else really exciting as far as search for queries go.
No more holy babbies.
No more holy babbies, sadly. This Gabe Newellbeard mail share article, and another one for Munch's Make Believe Band. Never forget. Let's talk about Penny Arcade.
They have a news site now.
They do.
Remember when Penny Arcade used to be about comics and being funny and things other than WoW?
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I enjoy that they're venturing outwards into other things. You know, like they do the whole Child's Play thing and all that jazz. But
sure, that was fine.
Child's Play was super
fine. The con was fine.
They're a comic. I think a lot of people are too hard on them.
Well, then I'm
with Brian on this one, to be honest. A lot of their recent comments have made me not laugh, but kind of smile at the very least.
I remember when they would make you laugh, and I remember there'd be like, I don't know, 4 or 5 like jokes just piled into the 3 frames, right? And now it's just like today, it's Angry Birds in space, and it's just the bird just flying out into space and into the sun. And this is.
Well, my mentality on this one is nobody should give a shit about Angry Birds anymore.
Sure.
But it's going to kill the 3DS and the Vita, Brian.
Did we write?
The game has changed.
Oh, yeah, remember that this was...
Game changer. Mark, what were we going to say?
I remember that these were also the guys that were going that said, you know, hey, you can spend your $40 on your DS game. I'm going to spend that same amount of money on $41 iPad games and see who has the most fun. And they were seriously saying that the guy with the iPad games would have more fun. That's what we're dealing
with. Game Off games.
Yeah.
I thought they were talking the other way around, to be honest.
No. They were quite clearly talking in favor of the iPad.
Matt, what were we saying about Gameloft?
I was just saying I disproved that recently with Gameloft games.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Did you play what was it? Call of Honor or Honor Duty Black Pegasus or something?
No, I played Nova 2, which is kind of their Halo clone.
Okay.
But it's pretty bad. It's really, really bad.
Sometime last night, a ROM dump of Pokemon Yellow showed up on iTunes, and it got, I think, to the top 3 rated apps.
Good lord.
Yeah.
Not because of the high ratings. Well, like, part of it was high ratings, but it got top sold. So there was 850 ratings. It was $1 a pop. So this guy made around, let's say, $500 off a ROM dump that does not load.
Nice.
And, like, if you read the ratings, some of them are like, this game doesn't work for me, but I'm rating it 5 stars because I hope they fix it. Which explains a lot of Skyrim reviews to me.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, but there's a lot of apps on there that kind of like give you credits if you give them a 5-star review. Like, you know, all the free-to-play ones. Yeah, so like you get all the free-to-play ones. It's like, I don't know what they are, but...
Dream Heights?
Stuff like that, and there's a pirate one as well, and if you go on the App Store and say this game is great, 5 stars, they'll give you like a week's free content.
iTunes, we have a pirate game.
They should ban you from the store for doing that.
I don't think Apple cared as long as they get their what did they get, like 20%.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, they just let an illegal ROM dump for Pokemon Yellow through. I don't think they give much of a shit what they
do. I wonder is, do they get to keep that money if and when that game eventually gets taken off the store? Because of the cease and desist?
They always get their blood money. But it's just surprising that, you know, Apple is very stringent about who and what they hand out their like approval to. I mean, it takes like weeks and it's a labyrinthine process that you're never actually informed of. But apparently a fucking ROM hack can just get through the system just fine.
I've actually heard from people that if you submit on a weekend or aim it so you'll get in on a weekend, the person who approves on weekends is just a complete idiot.
Yeah, what the fuck ever.
Right, there's some guy who's just like, oh man, Nintendo's putting a Pokemon game on the Apple Store. Let's approve it.
To be fair, he's probably quite pissed off he's got to work on a weekend.
That's true.
So he's probably going, yes, 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 I'm going home.
Right.
Well, to be fair, he's probably sitting in the Foxconn factory in China just happy that he's not been shot yet. Because I'm pretty sure that's how it works with
Apple. Oh, man.
Everyone who works with the iPad actually is in Foxconn.
Like they raise their salaries 25%.
So they're getting 25%?
Which I think is like, yeah.
What's 25% of nothing?
A dollar.
Wait, well, there's an incentive bonus if you haven't committed suicide for that day. So it compounds.
It's been X number of days since the last attempt.
I love that implies that there's a deduction if you do commit suicide. Like, oh, we're docking your pay. Stop jumping off.
I'll dock your pay.
Well, then they had to bring somebody in to work the rest of that shift. So.
Yeah, you get a bonus if you have a family member that can kind of take your place once you do off yourself.
I don't know. I'm going to have to look up my works policy on that kind of thing.
So Penny Arcade, eh?
Yeah, right. That's what we're... Yeah, I'm sitting here.
So looking through their archives because I'm a horrible man with no life and very vengeful. And on January the 16th was basically an advertisement for Dell Alienware laptops, because in all three panels there were two huge pictures of Dell Alienware laptops. And let's see here, on the 9th of the same month, it was another ad for Dell Alienware laptops, as the exact same Dell Alienware laptop appeared in all three panels.
But see, I don't think that that's an advertisement. I think
maybe
that's
Gabe's totally a fucking
no, I think this is them trying to counter Apple smug and just going about it all wrong. Like all the other webcomic artists who draw their Apple laptops with the Apple logo on the back,
right.
This is their counter argument. And it's,
yeah, but they're holding iPhones in every other panel, though. So yeah.
They seem like the sort of nerds who will brag about the stuff they own.
Well, Gabe, yeah. I don't know. I was going to say Gabe, especially. If you ever watched the Penny Arcade, the actual series, you know, the Tycho's always, or Jerry's, names, son of a bitch. Jerry Holkins / Tycho is always, you know, typing away
artist,
on his Mac. And then
the artist and the mole. The guy looks like a mole, and then the artist guy.
Okay, yeah, the guy who looks like a mole.
There you go.
He's always on his Apple, and then the artist guy is on a Windows machine, I'm fairly sure.
Which is kind of backwards, if you think about it.
It's really not.
No.
You don't think?
The only reason why Macs were preferred for art for a long time is that Photoshop was way better, but that ended in, like, 2000. And that's been a misstereotype for a long time.
They're not bad for film editing, but
no.
Art, I don't know.
Oh, it's great.
You can do anything on either. I mean, really, they're as far as I'm concerned, they're in.
But look, nice.
There's rumors that like the next OS, our Mac OS, is going to be you have to get things from the Mac App Store or it shouldn't be on there.
Yeah, there's rumors that they're actually going to disable purchases you already made in Steam until you change a permission setting.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, what brought us to Penny Arcade's?
Right, they launched a new site. They did not launch it, however, with a Kickstarter.
Because they're already multi-billionaires.
They have been kickstarted.
They didn't even seem to announce it with much fanfare, either.
No,
like, they were just like, we have Ben Kuchera, and we have a new site that cuts through PR bullshit. And every story I've seen linked from them has been mostly PR bullshit.
Yeah, they didn't link with much fanfare or integrity.
So is it pretty much just Ben Kuchera? I mean, I see one article from Dave Allen, but otherwise it's Ben Kuchera, Ben Kuchera, Ben Kuchera, Ben Kuchera.
I'm not convinced Dave Allen is a name.
Dave Allen. Allen. And then
Ben Kuchera is their celebrity writer, I guess. Everyone else went to, is either staying at their normal jobs or went to, what was it called? The Verve? The something?
Yeah.
Shit.
The Verge? Verge?
Verge.
Verge.
Media?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't even remember the name.
Vox Media.
It was like the biggest thing 3 weeks ago, and now no one cares.
Yeah, it's Vox
Media. They moved over, but they haven't launched anything yet.
Well, it's also, like...
Well, they're there to launch a new site that hasn't actually been created at all.
Right. Yeah, so I don't know what's up with that. Well, what's funny is if you click Dave Allen's name off the front page of the Penny Arcade rapport, it takes you to Ben Kuchera. So, but yeah, so I don't know. I guess there are a lot of people talking about the Ben Kuchera's. This is the Ben Kuchera cast talking about the Vita. The Vita offers portable gaming with no compromises, and we're smitten. We, of course, being Ben Kuchera.
Yeah. I'm Dave Mellon.
And presumably Penny Arcade.
Dave Allen.
If he's saying we, you have to assume he's talking about the larger organization.
No, that's just that's how Ben Kuchera talks about himself.
Maybe he's talks a member of the royal family. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a very personal, set of reasons why he likes it.
Well, it should be very personal because it's very intimate, and the reason it's very intimate is because he's having sex with the Vita.
Or at least since he's talking about bringing it into bed with his wife, he's having sex in close proximity to his Vita.
What we're trying to get across is he's sucking the Vita's dick.
Wait, you were serious about it going to Ben Kuchera's page?
Well, I mean, it if you look at the URL,
it goes to the about page. It goes to the about page. Nothing for Dave yet.
Right, there's no anchor for Kuchera, Dave right? Allen. It's pretty funny though. But let's see, the Penny Arcade report. Game journalism is broken. Many sites suffer from forced output cycles. News about cakes and playing along with the industry PR machine. We can do better.
The question is, what are they doing that we're not? Because this is pretty much our wheelhouse. Hey,
yeah, they owe us money. Here's my question. What is a forced production output? Does that just mean putting things out on a deadline?
I assume
we definitely don't have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we totally broke
this. We stick to our schedule.
Innovative.
I assume he's talking about how, at ours and Kotaku, they're paid by post.
Right. So
and they're not paid.
There's shovels. Except by Sony. Right. Ben Kuchera is not paid.
And Dell.
Respect. So let's see. Editor, breaking news, the cut. We know you're a busy person. You've got a job, a life, and, of course, all those games you need to play.
So here's a 50,000-word piece blowing the Vita.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, he's allowed to have his opinion. I mean, I'm sure, I love the hell out of my PSP, there are a lot of situations that I find myself enjoying things where other people are just, blah, 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 I hate this comic, I just don't get it. I mean,
He waxes eloquent on the size of the Vita cart, right? And if you take a look at the picture of the Vita cart, you say it's slightly larger than a quarter. So if you take a quarter and you take a DS cart and you put them together, they're the same damn size.
Yeah, but the Vita has more graphics.
Oh, that's a good
point. It has more of them.
So the Vita cartridge is denser and heavier with all the graphics inside of it. Oh, okay.
It's magic.
The thing is, what bothers me about this is not his opinion, but if you're going to make a site precipitated on the idea that you're cutting through the PR bullshit, should not write a line like the Vita is a window to another world.
Right.
Or Sony is taking a leadership position, sounds like something. It sounds like a header off something you hand to your board members.
I can see that.
Yeah, to make them confident you're not going bankrupt within the next 3 months. This is the sort of thing the THQ handlers are giving their shareholders right now. So,
I'm still not convinced that Sony themselves want the Vita to succeed. Every time something new came out, when they announced it, it was like, holy shit, that looks amazing. And then from the original announcement and unveiling to now...
Unveiling.
Unveiling.
It has been unveiled. Then to now, it's just kind of like Sony has... It's like being the run-up to the PSP launch all over again.
Yeah, well, they think it's going to assume the position from the PSP.
I think the problem is Sony is stuck between a rock and a hard place. They had to make a successor system, but they couldn't stay with the same PSP graphics because eventually there was nothing stopping Nintendo from going to that level. And they couldn't really, go a little bit further because then there's no point in upgrading. So they had to go full hog And because of that, they had to price it reasonably, because no one's going to buy a $400 handheld. No. And they had to go off-the-shelf parts. They had to skimp in a lot of things. The dumb thing they did is they put out a lot of launch software, and none of it's very good. And you could have seen from last March that was a bad idea for Nintendo to do. And if Nintendo can't pull it off without going into panic mode, Sony certainly can't pull it off.
Well, you can't pull it off when you're going against competitors like the 3DS and, frankly, like the iPhone and the iPad, which are coming out with hundreds of titles already. You have to convince people to jump on board with this thing. And if people are going to have to wait like 6 months to a year for shit to come out, the Vita is going to be old news. It's like you're going to have the iPhone 3 or the iPhone 5 or what the fuck ever will come out. The next Droid system will come out.
The problem is Sony is running against competitors from a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Because that's when they first announced, like, they didn't announce the system until last January, but it was in developer hands from January 2009.
And apparently
they're running against that tech. But right now, I mean, that where they are now against their competitors, it's not looking good for them.
Yeah, I mean, like, this thing was sourced using, what, a Tegra 2 chip, I think? And, like, their competitors are guys who, like, upgrade their phones every 2 years. And this thing is going to have to stay on the market for, like, 4 to 5 years.
Well, in the next few years, it's going to be cheaper. And then its competition isn't going to be people who buy phones every year. And it's eventually going to come down.
Ideally, they're... Whatever they say, they're competing with the 3DS. They're not going to compete with the iPod or iPhone, because it's a bridge too far for them. Their whole thing is going to be get third-party games on there, and once those games are on there, people are going to buy it. But if they let their competitors get a huge lead in that time, then it's not going to matter how many games are on there. There's unlikely to be a big Monster Hunter-style hit on the game.
Let's take a break.
Alright.
We'll be
back.
Let's
cut out the awkward silence in post-production.
Yes, we'll be back. Welcome back, everybody. For a change, we're going to talk about some video games, and I want to know what David's been playing.
Well, mostly I've been playing Star Wars The Old Republic, which I got this week, and Alan Wake.
How weak is he?
Alan Wake, he's very weak. I cannot say words today. Alan Wake, which is an astonishingly pretty game on the PC.
Did you play it on console?
Yeah, I finished it on the console, and...
Hmm.
It was a good-looking game there, but it wasn't kind of... I was never kind of taken back by the graphics on there.
If you had played it on Vita, you'd be much more pleased.
Oh, yeah, well, Vita has the most graphics.
948 by 555 or something.
Yeah, that's a screen the size of the moon.
That's probably about the resolution Alan Wake ran at anyway.
So how much is Alan Wake on Steam? Because I should probably play that. It looks pretty interesting. 30 bucks, that's doable.
Oddly, Green Man Gaming had it for 20, then removed it like an hour later.
Oh, dang. Did you get in on that deal, or?
I did not, because I still have the game and all the DLC on my 360.
Okay.
So I figure if I should play it, I should play it on there.
So I think like the game itself costs like 20 bucks. You can download the entire game on the 360. I think for like something like really cheap, like 20 bucks, something like that.
So having played both versions now, David. Control-wise, I mean, does it play out well on computer and console? And
well, I'm just using the 360 pad to control.
Oh, you loser.
Well, it just feels better. A third-person game like that.
Okay, well then that answers my question.
Yeah. But it's exactly the same game, but it has a lot more pretty, basically.
More resolutions, I hear.
Yeah, it's got all of that things. You know, the numbers with the X's in and the abbreviations for things.
the version they're selling, like Steam and such, does it have like, the expansions with it?
I think it has all the DLC.
Yeah, it has. It doesn't have the newest one, but that looks kind of
Well, the newest one's a sequel, kind of. So.
Yeah, it's an XBLA sequel.
Isn't it set in the desert or something stupid?
I think you travel around different states. That's the American Nightmare name.
Huh.
No, it's set in the American, in the Southwest, and like it's a 5-hour long game. Apparently, you like replay like the first hour or 2 hours like over and over again, like Groundhog Day.
That's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Sure.
When they said that, like, it's going to focus on combat, I was like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah. Because that was the most fun part of Alan Wake.
And a lot of people can get over that or even like it, but for me, it was just, it wasn't fun at all. Like, shining lights on people, then shooting them, they were overly aggressive for that, the way that shooting system worked.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like, you shoot a guy with light, and then you shoot a guy with a gun. So you're basically kind of just like holding down different cursors for like twice as long as you would like Gears of War or something. It's just
what you should have had was a crossbow with a flashlight tied to the arrows.
Yes,
because then you'd shoot guns.
So many light. Like, could just buy about like a 400 mini mag lights.
Yeah, and just shoot them, and that'll be it. Maybe no, like would, the cheap weapon.
So
what they should do is they should take Alan Wake and just make a Walking Dead game out of it.
Mm.
Because that would be fantastic.
Yeah. That was the thing with the combat. There was too much of it, and even on the hardest, you never really felt threatened by them.
Well, I got to some part where like a bunch of birds were kicking my ass.
Yeah, the birds are the biggest threat in that game, and it's mainly because they require flares to take out completely.
Can we make the comparison between Alan Wake birds and Daikatana bugs?
Yeah, no. Pretty much. Because they're hard to hit.
They're
or
birds.
At least they weren't that part I was at.
Yeah, but the trick is, like, the Alan Wake birds are supposed to be hard to hit and, like, kind of, like, tension building, where the Daikatana frogs were just a really bad idea that someone should have said something about.
It's weird because the birds come out at a part where you're literally steamrolling over things, because you get a truck or something, and you're just driving up a hill with your manager, and then all of a sudden, okay, now you don't have headlights, and all of a sudden birds are killing you.
Yeah. Just like real life.
I keep on, Alan Wake is the sort of guy who has no problem like killing like a bulldozer with his gun, but he the fucking flock of birds just completely flummox him at every turn.
Birds, how do they work? So given the combat mechanics of this game, I just know if I were playing it, every time I got an enemy, like, you know, I'd take the flashlight, I'd shine them on the enemy, and I'd go, "Found you!" And then I'd just shoot him in the face.
Kinda. What happens is, like, all the enemies are surrounded by some kind of, like, supernatural shadow-like component right. to them, right? And they're completely invulnerable as long as a shadow is on them. So if you shine a flashlight on them, it burns off the shadow. So they're completely invulnerable until such point as you can do that. And the only thing is, like, you're putting the light at them, and, like, another guy can come rush you, and, like, it breaks off the light, so you have to restart the whole damn process again on the same dude. It's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, well, it doesn't sound exactly like it should be a combat-oriented game, as Imran was saying about the sequel or whatever they're talking about.
I think, basically, it's because they had to move it to a far more linear kind of corridor style of game.
Yeah.
In that they had to fill it with combat. They should have had less enemies that were more threatening.
And the original pitch for Alan Wake was amazing sounding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
hopefully they can make that for Alan Wake 2.
Hopefully. I mean, if Microsoft is demanding it goes on 360, then I'm guessing probably not. But it was basically, it's an open world game where you'd investigate during the day, and at night you'd have to, like, barricade yourself in or go do whatever has to be done that night.
Right.
Because when you're sleeping, enemies can still get to you.
They'll switch development teams. New from the team that brought you Gears of War, Alan Wake 2.
It's just amazing how utterly destructive Microsoft Gaming Studios has been this generation. They've ruined so much really great shit. And just, I mean, they killed Alan Wake, they killed Rare. Their XBLA
Ensemble
policies are just yeah, that's right.
There was a good article from who was it? I think it was Ars that, like, they asked the question: did Microsoft actually kill Rare? And they talked to a bunch of old ex-Rare employees, and they were saying that Rare was not, they thought they were the kings because of the N64, that they basically kept that alive. But when they got on their own, Microsoft was like, all right, you guys make awesome games. And they didn't know what to do without Nintendo constantly looking over their shoulder. So they just made what they thought was awesome. Yeah. Most people left, so.
And what they thought was awesome were like reprints of like N64 games.
I played that the other day.
What's that?
Well, Cameo was supposed to be an N64 game to start with. And
yeah. Then it became a GameCube game. Then it became an Xbox game. Then a 360 game.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And then there was the point where Microsoft Gaming Studios killed FASA with Shadowrun. Was it FASA they killed? Yeah.
They deserved it.
They're not doing Turn 10 any favors either. Annual updates of Forza are not really working out so hot so far.
Yeah, Forza 4 has to be the last one,
well,
though.
I think not really. Microsoft Gaming Studios has killed more formerly amazing studios this generation than EA ever has.
Yeah. Well, EA just did it through, like, complete, like, they said, well, these... We need to save some money, so we're going to like get rid of Westwood. We're very sorry. Microsoft is just doing it through pure mismanagement. Just pure like spiteful mismanagement.
I think at some point they decided they didn't need first-party studios anymore.
They did. Yeah, they decided that, hey, we've got Activision, and if we can just promise to get like a month's exclusive maps, then we're going to be perfectly fine. But doesn't Turn 10 have the Rally Sport Challenge license like lying around that they're not doing anything with?
I have no idea.
I think they managed to get that from DICE. So we're never going to see anything done with that. Awesome.
Oh, hey.
We should start a Kickstarter.
Bizarre Creations is defunct, too. I didn't know that.
Well, that's because they went to Activision, got purchased by Activision. They're not well known for their keeping around small studios.
Well, they also did some really poor decision planning when they released, The Club?
The Club and James Bond, I think, were their only two projects.
Yeah.
And Blur.
Blur probably would have worked, but you know, it was just, they decided, we're going to release some third-person shooters. Aren't you guys really good at releasing arcade racers? Yeah, we're going to do third-person shooters. Oh, well. And then they went out of business, and I can't feel too bad for them, to be honest.
Blur probably, it was mismarketed. Yeah. They shouldn't have been trying to say, this is for our older Mario Kart fans, because a lot of Mario Kart fans were older anyway.
Yeah.
They should have just been saying, like, hey, one Mario Kart only comes out a generation. Buy this.
Yeah. And this is with real cars, so it had a unique hook. But it also had an issue where, like, it was releasing at the same time as Split Second, which basically kind of did the same thing, only flashier.
So. Yeah, Split Second, Mod Nation Racers, Sonic and Sega Racing, and Blur came out within 2 months of each other.
Yeah, it was a bad look for that entire genre.
Did it exactly sell particularly well?
No. Sonic and Sega Racers is getting a sequel.
Yeah. It should be noted that the studio that did Split Second was folded by Disney, so neither one of those guys really did well in the end.
Split Second was BlackRock, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they did Pure. Pure was garbage.
Mm-hmm. So Disney kind of like folded up all their video game stuff recently, except for Junction Point.
Yeah, that was a strange thing. You would have thought that as soon as they own Marvel, they'd have reopened all their video game stuff.
They don't have the licenses back for that yet. I don't think they will for another year or two.
Ah, right. Because you'd think as soon as you owned, like, Spider-Man or Captain America or the Avengers, you'd start pumping out the games.
Or you at least, like, stop giving them to Sega.
Yeah.
They took away Sega's license. THQ lost their bid for it. I don't know who has Avengers right now. I don't think they've announced it. Which they should, because the movie comes out in like a month.
Yeah. Yeah, we have seen anything of the tie-in game for that. Will there even be a tie-in game?
I assume there has to be.
It's going to be made by Zynga.
It always is.
The Zynga Avengers.
Who made Captain America?
Sega.
Was that Sega?
Yeah.
They published it. I don't know who actually made it.
Yeah, it was one of their Western design houses, but yeah, it was Sega.
That was okay.
Yeah, that's because it was just straight up ripping off Arkham at that point.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, like, THQ had a thing, like a design reel of what they wanted to do with an adventures game, but they lost the bid. And it looked pretty cool. It was like first person.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. It did look really cool. Yeah.
Though, granted, now they probably wouldn't be able to make that game.
Yeah, sadly, no. That'll never come to fruition.
Oh, well. It looks like a THQ Studio Australia has the rights to the Avengers video game. So,
maybe they are making it.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Australians.
I know they recently let go of THQ Japan.
You'll have to turn your television upside down to play it.
Jeez.
The analog sticks go clockwise.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So anything else, David?
Not really, other than The Old Republic, which is okay, I guess.
It's really an acceptable game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strange game. I mean, I've never really played MMOs before, and this seems to have a lot of the MMO formula, but with quests where you talk. So that seems interesting, I guess.
Mark, video games.
The only thing I've been playing is El Shaddai, which I finished over the weekend. I just plowed through it over it actually surprised me. I started playing at like 9 o'clock like Friday night, and I assumed it's like, well, I probably got like half this game finished. And by like midnight, I was scrolling through the credits and just thinking, this can't possibly be right. This game is fucking with me, because that's what the game does. The entire game, it just screws with you. And I finished that game. I wrote about it over the weekend, and I'll have my full thoughts about it. But I think it's something everybody needs to play. I'm not sure if like everyone will enjoy playing it, but that's beside the point. That I think everybody needs to play it.
Right.
Answer me this, because some friends were playing it recently, and they were talking to me about it, and they would just keep alluding to this thing called the Dancer Man or something like that.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
One of the bosses in the game is basically a combination of like Prince and the Milli Vanilli brothers and Michael Jackson. Huh. And he's fucking amazing. And during his boss fight, you gotta like fight off his backup singers. And during the part where you're fighting off his backup singers, he like takes hold of the camera and stares at you, makes eye contact with the player while you're in the background fighting off his fucking asshole like goons, and does the, and you know the mime dance where like where they pretend like there's a wall in front of them and they like shake along? He does that to the camera. It is amazing.
Except for the camera part, that sounds pretty standard for Japanese action games.
Yeah, it's very meta. I loved it. Yeah.
And
also, are you doing, Mark, are you also doing the spy art for Capcom games?
The what now?
The spine art for Capcom games? Because
That was the spine art, because with Asura's Wrath, they put a new typo on the back.
Yeah, yeah, wasn't it completion or something instead of completion?
Challenges, I think.
Challenges, yes.
I can actually probably get pretty good money proofreading for them. I'm basically illiterate without spell check. So.
Also a Capcom, apparently.
Yeah. Well, they have an excuse. They're Japanese. I don't.
That's not an excuse. all right, Imran. So, Alan Wake. Anything else?
For me, I haven't been playing Alan Wake.
Oh, I thought you mentioned. Oh, I guess you had played it. Never mind.
Yeah, I
misunderstood.
I just never got very far.
Got it.
I finished Never Dead, and that game is really, really awful.
And in other news, Never Dead was released.
Yeah, it's okay, so you can't get quote unquote killed in the game, but you die all the time anyway. But every time an enemy hits you, your body parts fall off.
Oh,
and this is incredibly annoying, because you have to do a jump roll over a body part to get it back. So you're just constantly jump rolling and getting hit again and jump rolling and getting hit again, because you don't have that much control. And you're aiming, because you use a gun in the game as your main weapon. Your aiming is terrible. Like, it's probably the worst third-person aiming I've felt in a long time on a console.
Worse than Uncharted 3 pre-patch?
Definitely worse, because it's slow and inaccurate. There's just so much bad about the game.
I gotta love the Japanese innovation in trying to make third-person shooters awful. Because those guys have really gone above and beyond.
This was made by Rebellion, though.
Oh, really?
Yes. Over in, they're an English studio. So.
Yeah, I thought there was a.
Which one is
a Capcom joint, right?
Which one's the one that's never dead? Because there's kind of two where you're kind of a
Konami.
Dead guy.
Okay.
It's a Konami game where you cannot, quote-unquote, die. But, okay, so there's this...
There's another one where you're running around with someone's head on your
That's Lollipop Chainsaw. And that's going to be amazing, because it's going to be a grasshopper game. It's Suda. Anyway.
There's this part of Never Dead where there's a building falling on you, and you just have to line up to the window correctly. And that's, in theory, that sounds amazing. But you can't see the window, because there's dust kicking up. Brilliant. So you're just constantly dying over and over and over.
Oh, well. So there's not like a light through the window that shines on the ground to show you where to stand.
You can look at it as it's falling and then dust.
Okay, brilliant.
I guarantee you're gonna play through that again. You're gonna look down and there's gonna be an X. And you're gonna slap yourself in the forehead.
There's some weirdly brilliant parts of the game. Like you can disconnect your head and go through like Metroid Prime style morph ball sequences.
What?
There's a boss fight where you take off your arm with your gun, arm holding your gun, and throw it inside of a boss and just shoot him from the inside.
Nice.
Those parts are interesting, but the rest is terrible.
Yeah, because I mean, parts of this sound like the best game ever, to be honest.
There's a 4-minute J-pop song where you're protecting an idol. But here's the thing, you watch her perform the song, but her mouth doesn't move at all during it, which is either brilliant commentary or terrible modeling.
I remember when mouths used to not move, period.
So I'm looking through the Wikipedia for Never Dead, and this is director as Shinta Nijori. I guess I'm pronouncing that horribly incorrectly. Anyway, this guy is actually credited with like every last Metal Gear Solid game since Metal Gear Solid 2. He worked on Ghost Babel, and he worked on Police Knots.
I'm guessing he was director.
Dong Police Knots?
Yes, Dong Police Knots.
Yes, Police Knots.
I'm guessing he was director in that he called in occasionally and checked that they were still making the game.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, that game is bad. Don't buy it.
These are the guys who worked on Rogue Warrior, for Christ's sake. And
wasn't that game pretty bad, too?
No, Rogue Warrior was...
Was that the game where they just said fuck like every 3 seconds?
Yeah, that was the Mickey
beard.
Rourke game.
Oh, wait,
that game's terrible. You think of Rogue Trooper?
Yes, I am. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, this explains everything.
Because Rogue Warrior had the Mickey Rourke rap at the end.
Right.
Oh, wait. I was also confused because Rebellion also worked on Rogue Trooper.
Huh. Yeah.
What the fuck is going on with this company?
You just know at the Konami pitch meeting, they're like, okay, we want to call this Rogue Dead.
Rebellion owned 2000 AD. You know, the comic.
Rogue for Dead.
Really?
Yeah, they own it. It's their comic.
They own the comic.
Yeah, which is really weird. They bought it out. Because they were all massive fans. And that's why they made Rogue Trooper and those awful Judge Dredd games.
Okay.
So I played another game that was actually not as bad, but could still be better. Kingdoms of Amalur. Which I'm guessing, I wish Wes were here, because I know he's played it.
Yeah, on PC, right?
Yeah. That game's, it's like Skyrim with a better battle system and worse everything else.
That's too bad.
In the MMO quests, if anyone tells you that these quests are not very MMORPG-like, they are lying. Because the first quest I got was go around this area and destroy 9 crates. And they were marked crates. They had to be those specific ones. And most quests are pretty much like that. It also suffers from...
What would happen if you broke the non-designated crates?
Right.
Nothing. You get gold occasionally.
Your character dies.
You'd just be an asshole who broke crates for no good
game
reason.
Game over.
The end.
Delete hard drive.
In Skyrim, if you did that, then a guard would come by and kill you, because those are somebody's crates.
Who's touching my crates?
It's not... I mean, the combat system is actually really fun, but it's not balanced very well, because I played it as a rogue, and until you get a bunch of rogue skills, you're really going to suck at it, because you die in, 2 hits.
Does it feel good that you're the progression of your character, though? I mean, does it feel completely limiting, or, does it feel more empowering when you actually...
The thing is, once you create enough gems to slot into your utility armor and stuff like that, I put on some stuff that auto-heals me. So, like I'll constantly be regaining health, and that just completely breaks the game. Because at that point, I just can't die anymore.
Wasn't this supposed to be like the basis for like a larger MMO that Kurt Schilling wanted to develop?
Yep, I think they're still making it, so this is just basically the demo for that. But it looks nice. Unlike Skyrim, it has colors, which is nice.
Colors are overrated.
It also has colors. It has brown and light brown and dark brown.
It also has white.
Blue. But like every person in this game has a problem, and they will tell you about that problem the second you talk to them.
Because you look like that kind of guy.
Yeah, and that
fixes
like,
problems.
Usually,
it's a problem that revolves around crates.
You don't talk
destroyed.
Much, but you're a great listener.
Hello, stranger. I need 3 dog teeth.
That's pretty much it. Like, there's faction quests, which are interesting, and, you know, you should do those. But the random walking across the road and this person has an exclamation mark over their head quests, don't talk to those people, because they will ruin the game for you.
With the side quest?
Yeah, with their crappy side quests. And the problem is, like, it gets a little Elder Scrolls cave itis-y at some point. Because you'll go in the caves and be like, I fucking know this corridor. I've been down this corridor. They're putting, like, various parts of other caves together.
Well.
Well, I mean, it's not a bad game. But it's not great.
A great game.
Like, the problem is, if this came out before Skyrim, it would probably be praised to hell and back. But after Skyrim, it's... And it's not fair, because it's a month or two, and they were probably making this game before ever hearing about Skyrim.
Oh, yeah, they totally were, but it got changed like 2 or 3 times in development as well.
Yeah, it got rebooted a couple of times.
Well, it definitely looked pretty interesting to me, so I'll pick it up on a sale sometime.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to go on Steam sale.
It seems nice if like you're really jonesing for that type of gameplay, but also it seems hard to justify sitting down with it for like 120 hours.
It kind of
hours.
Seems to be that kind of... kind of selection of games on Steam that you know are going to be good, but are sale games.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
These are games I will definitely buy when they hit the sale.
Yeah.
But
it's not a $60 game.
Yeah.
Despite being full of content.
But there seems to be a whole...
PC?
What's that?
Is it 60 on PC?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Yes, it's 2012.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't agree with paying $60 for this. I managed to get a copy cheap off a friend for 360, but I wouldn't say, like, I wouldn't recommend paying for this game.
Yeah, 60 seems
or paying full price rather.
Any game
better than Dragon Age 2.
It's better than Dragon Age 2.
That's not good.
A ringing endorsement.
The story tends to it's schizophrenic. It doesn't know what it's doing half the time. Because the idea is you're someone that died because fate said you were going to die at that time, and they brought you back to life.
Right.
Does your character start with amnesia?
Yes.
Sold.
Right. Is there a point where you get thrown in jail?
Not so far.
Is there a
bit in the about doing everything other people can't do because fate screwed them over? So since I'm somebody without fate, I can just go around and do everybody else's job for them.
Interesting.
So is your character named Sam Beckett?
No. Mm. I forgot what I named my character. I chose like a dark elf.
Did you name your character Sam Beckett?
The race seems to not matter at all. Except for like, you know, various...
Well, I was going to ask about that. What kind of control? Yeah.
Oh. I mean, you get some stat stuff. Like, basically it just perks in choosing your job class. And an actual skill tree.
Oh, well.
Though I kind of want to re-roll my character, Scott Bakula, now.
The best character.
Right now, you're humming the Quantum Leap theme music.
I am.
So ended sadly.
I can't even remember the Quantum Leap theme music.
I just remember the last line. It was like, each leap he's hoping will be...
Right, closer to... Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm looking it up now.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, man, what a great theme. All right, Matt Pierce.
I've had a busy week at work, so I've been playing like all the casual games I go back to all the time when I don't want to do anything new.
Nice.
So it's, yeah, it's been a lot of Gran Turismo, Forza 4, William Spinball Collection.
I like that your idea of a casual game is Gran Turismo 4. It's a Gran Turismo game. I don't have a lot to do. I think I'll just sit here down for the 24-hour recreation of Le Mans.
Oh, God, no. No. Although, I did finally do a 4-hour endurance once they put saving in the middle of endurance races.
This was about to ask if Gran Turismo 5 actually managed to fix that, because I always wanted to like try that, but that seemed like a mind-numbing experience. So okay. You can actually save in the middle of now?
Gran Turismo 4 didn't split up A-spec and B-spec races, so you could have the AI driver take over when you went to bed. Which is... if you ran a real, like, real-life 24-hour endurance race, you have a team of 3 or 4 drivers, and you take shifts. So that's totally okay by me. But,
did you have to come back at a certain time, though, to pick it back up?
No, it would just send the AI driver back out again if you weren't around to hit the button.
He doesn't need sleep.
He may crash into a wall and destroy your race, but whatever. But in Gran Turismo 5, they split out A-spec and B-spec into 2 separate games. So they have strictly A-spec endurance races and no ability to save in the middle at launch. So if you wanted to do the 24-hour race, you had to do 24 hours in front of your PS3. And that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So in one of the more recent revisions, they put saving in the middle of endurance races. So I finally, you know, spent a week doing a 4-hour race.
Do you have to like run over like typewriter ribbons to get save points?
Yes.
Although the autosave is frustrating because it autosaves everything. You change a paint color, you change which car you're using. It's just constant saving to the hard drive. But it's a great, those sorts of games are great casual games when you have gotten to the point where you're not trying to complete anything and you're just kind of popping in to do 5 laps.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
But other than that, it's been pinball, and I tried doing some Game Loft games on the touchpad, and Nova 2 just didn't work at all. Asphalt 6 didn't work, period.
Is that their answer to Forza 4?
No, it's their answer to, I guess, Project Gotham.
Asphalt 5.
That's right, Asphalt 5.
Well, that's what kills me. Asphalt 5 worked on WebOS, and then Asphalt 6, they mapped the tilt controls to digital left and right instead of an analog control. It makes it impossible to play.
I saw a kid playing one of those tilt driving games on the new BlackBerry tablet. And he lost. No. He lost the game, and he threw a proper temper tantrum, and he just threw it across the. It was like a shot.
Sweet.
It was a shot download version, and he was only about 8 or 9, and he just threw it across the shop, and it smashed against the back wall, and everybody in the shop just kind of froze and looked at him, and he just stormed out, and his mum was kind of behind him, going, "No, it's nothing to do with me. Not my kid."
Oh man.
I mean, it's only a BlackBerry tablet.
Yeah.
So did anybody try to pick up the BlackBerry tablet after the child had thrown it aside?
No, he hadn't thrown it aside. He'd whipped it across the shop.
Yeah, wasn't it his BlackBerry tablet though?
No, it was the store demo version.
Oh, brilliant! Oh. Oh, great.
Only a BlackBerry tablet.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know they have 3 CEOs. That's their big plan to save them. Was to get, they hired 3 CEOs and they made cartoon versions of them for press releases.
Nice.
Do they combine into one larger CEO with superpowers?
They're a superhero team.
That's actually
Cage in the cartoon version.
Do they have a Hell in a Cell match to kind of decide the decision?
That's the premise for Transformers 4.
They all have their own,
since there's only 3, they have no arms.
They have, each different, things they look over, one guy just marketing or whatever, but that's not CEOs. That's different jobs.
Yeah.
Those are clearly departments.
So in reality, they have no CEO.
Isn't the entire point of the CEO is that it's just one guy that looks over all the rest of this stuff and, people just report to him? So Is there like one CEO that these guys are like, or these three CEOs are
reporting
to?
A CEO is the person in charge of the administrative function of the company. So that they're in charge of the executives and making sure the executives function. The COO, the chief operations officer, is the person who oversees how stuff actually gets done.
Okay.
I was wrong. It's four CEOs.
Nice.
Okay, now, this is bullshit. They have to have the fifth CEO so they can form the Gestalt. You know, one for each arm, the torso, and then two for the legs.
And I'll form the head.
And then there's a light. There's a huge like light broadsword involved.
Bigger than a person.
Oh yeah, totally bigger than a person.
That's the way to go.
I like how only one of the CEOs has a BlackBerry.
So is that cartoon supposed to be those?
Yeah. It's those guys. The Bold Team is what they're calling them.
They're so
Go-Go bold. Girl, which sounds like a stripper name. Max Stone,
which sounds like a porn star name.
Yeah.
Justin Steele,
which sounds like a porn star name.
Trudy for
Trudy
real.
For real.
That just sounds like
two chicks are dressed as porn stars.
That sounds like an unpopular porn star name. You know, the type of porn star. It's in the really degrading.
Right.
And the guy in the back is holding the BlackBerry. Say, hey, remember what we do? Like BlackBerries, like
these?
You still use these, right? Yeah.
Please. I hope they're actually going to start fighting crime.
That would be wonderful.
They're going to start fighting iPad owners. They're going to like find people using their iPhones and I guess the Droid phones and just punch them.
Wait, this is actually a good idea for a comic. The chief executive officers.
The executives.
Nice. I'm okay with that.
Well, I think the team could be more multi-ethnic because I think they're missing like an Eskimo.
That's always hard.
Or someone in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, that one dude's crouching, so maybe he can't walk.
They're just too lazy to get him a wheelchair.
Crouching.
You will crawl.
Right. She care the whatever the Go-Go Girl must carry him.
Maybe she's a paraplegic. She just happens to fly.
The flying one looks proper derpy as well. That's
how
I can fly.
I think it's because it looks like she's sticking her tongue out. But
yeah, it does. Yeah.
They look too much like Bratz dolls.
Yeah, they do that too.
The guy holding up the BlackBerry actually looks like an Xbox avatar.
Also, he has a huge unit on him. If you think that looks like bulging, Arthur, is that just me or?
Thanks, Mark Bradshaw.
No problem. I mean, everybody has to see
what
right?
you want to see, man.
Yeah. I
mean, so
thing's just out there.
I have not been playing a game about four CEOs fighting crime.
Have you been playing any
Why
game?
Not?
I've not been playing a lot really. I've been super busy. Like I built, you know, like furniture this weekend, and I have been playing
it's
a
like
good
furniture about game.
Like, yes, furniture the game.
Okay.
Now,
I'm quite surprised there is no IKEA based video game.
Certainly there is. Certainly there's some kind of iPad game about building IKEA.
Being Swedish.
Yeah.
Because I could do the Billy bookcase level in about 10 seconds.
Nice.
Now let me ask you, did you go to IKEA to get your furniture? And
yes.
If so, did you get the meatballs?
Yes and no.
I see. That's only half the IKEA experience. You go there and you eat lunch at the IKEA and you get the meatballs.
Am I supposed to do that? I've never done that.
You get the meatballs with the chips, or the fries, as you chaps call them, and the weird coloured gravy, and the awesome kind of berry jam that is made of lingon berries.
All right, I'll try that sometime. I will try the Swedish meatballs.
And that's been the IKEA cast.
No, I've been playing a lot of Minecraft, because that's kind of my, as we were talking about before, that's kind of my go-to game.
God, some of those meatballs now.
Just go right now. Let's meet at IKEA. That's kind of my go-to game when I'm just kind of bored and can't think of much else. I'll hop out and build some shit. Haven't been playing a lot else. Some Rage here and there. Left 4 Dead as usual, but otherwise not much at all.
So how far are you in Rage?
Let's see. I am early on into.
He punched a baby.
What's the name of the sub? What is it? Subway Town.
Subway Town.
Yeah.
That's the name of the town in the subway.
Yeah,
subway
town. It's called Subway Town. So I'm there and I'm doing some missions.
Have you shot the mans yet?
Yeah, I've shot many mans. Quite enjoyably, I might add.
Okay, so there's several IKEA apps, but also several IKEA podcasts.
Oh, nice. That's what we need.
You take those guys on.
Handel Foschwert, the IKEA podcast.
Wait, what is it called?
Handel Foschwert.
Oh, nice.
Was macht dies alles bong?
I think they might be different language podcasts.
Yeah, I would guess.
No. It's the IKEA business podcast.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's enjoyable.
Then there's the IKEA podcast.
The IKEA cast?
I wonder how long this
casting
IKEA
our particle board into your face. Mm-hmm. I think we're done here.
Yeah.
IKEA hacks. That's actually, I did take one of these like little IKEA chests that you buy for, I don't know, like $40 or something. Jesus. And cut a small hole in the side, and that's where we put our cast litter box. Disguises it quite nicely. Just in case you were looking to do anything like that, everybody. All right. I'm Brian Belita. Thanks to Imran Khan, Matt Pierce, Mark Bradshaw, and David Marchman for joining us. Wes was working this week. He'll probably be back next week. This was episode 74. Exactly. Bye, everyone.
Kickstarter.
Good night.
Yay.
Right.